It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Everybody, welcome back to WCCO Radio. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake tonight, and want to talk football. So, going to bring you a little bit of the conversation I had today out at TCO Performance Center with my friend Andrew Kramer, who also covers the Minnesota Vikings. He does so for the Star Tribune, and the topic of discussion, you'll never believe it, the Vikings quarterback. But in this, we didn't debate so much Sam Darnold, but just talk about why we think he has been so good this year. So wanted to bring you that conversation as the Vikings are 11-2 getting set for Monday Night Football.
When they trusted Sam Darnold versus when they believed in Sam Darnold is two different things, I think. When they trusted him was they started 5-0 and they, you know, he played great in that 5-0 stretch. Like, okay, well, this guy's our quarterback. You know, it's probably the first week of the season you could see, All right, he can play. That throw that he made down the left side to Justin Jefferson against the Giants, I'm sure every player in the locker room was like, okay, all right, we have a quarterback in the National Football League.
And wasn't it the back shoulder throw to Naylor the following week? Like, I bring up the 97-yarder, but that wasn't even the throw we all talked about.
Because they needed a big drive there to put San Francisco away, and every time they've needed that, they've gotten it from Darnold. But he threw him a dart that just sort of sent him flying and hit him so hard. But I think the moment they believed in Sam Darnold is a 52-yard touchdown from Justin Jefferson where
– you think it just happened.
I think it just happened. Yeah. I mean, okay, the comeback against Arizona is also really good. Fourth and six.
That was it too.
Yep.
That could have been it.
Yep. Fourth and six. And everyone says, wow, I mean, we could be down two scores in the fourth quarter and have this guy like lock in and make plays like that. But everybody knows in the NFL that if you're going to win anything, your quarterback has to do something astounding, jaw dropping. You can't game manage your way to a championship. I said it last week. I don't have to say it again. You know what I'm talking about. You cannot just in the pocket take the sack there as the free runner comes through and punt it away and compete for a championship. You just can't. That's the type of play where everyone screws up front, the protection, whatever. A guy's running right at your quarterback and you end up with a 52-yard touchdown. You go, what's not possible for us with this offense?
Yeah, very few guys can make that to the point where in the media center you're trying to come up with how many guys can make that kind of throw. It's very few. It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, like the ability to buy that time and make that throw. And that's what leads to the questions of Sam Darnold's future of should they let him walk out the door after seeing plays like that? And if he continues to make them, especially in January, he's going to answer those questions on his own, and it won't be a discussion if he continues to do that kind of stuff. So I think you bring up a good point about when he does these plays in December, it does carry more weight, not just with fans and media, but in the locker room, in the front office, in the coaching staff, when you can show that I'm down 13 points against Arizona, or our protection just got totally screwed on this play, and I'm going to transcend and rise above. It makes me think of what Kwesi said when they still had Kirk Cousins under contract. I think you asked him at the combine about how do you judge positional value? And it's something that's always stuck with me when he said, well, I view it as how many jobs can that guy save on a given play? How many people can he make right on a given play? And that's the kind of thing that we have not seen from a Vikings quarterback since when? Sometime.
Brett Favre?
Yeah, 09. I mean, and that's not to say, because look, Darnold could go out there and have a bad finish to the season. Mm-hmm. He could be one and done in the playoffs, and we're all talking about, remember that run that Sam Darnold went on? It was a long Josh Dobbs. But I don't think that's where we're at. I don't think that's where the Vikings think we're at. They feel like they built something foundationally with him that they're all excited like we are to see where it goes.
And with Dobbs, it was kind of a cartoon thing, and it just was not built to last. And he's quarterback 3 for another team right now. He'd been cut by a bunch of teams. This is a guy who is a 3rd overall draft pick for a reason. And there's just this very real world that has happened before in the NFL a number of times where somebody goes through some terrible situations or wasn't as good as they are now. I mean, Sam Darnold talked to us in the offseason about how he had been unhappy with his deep passing. And so he put a ton of emphasis in his deep throwing going into this year and over the last 2 years. He also talked about learning from Brock Purdy that you could just play point guard sometimes. And we all kind of went like, oh yeah, we heard the point guard thing from Kirk for a couple. But these are real things. His deep accuracy, after watching him on tape from when he was with the Jets, it's a different person. He is so much more precise with that stuff. He doesn't hop around on his toes and then fling the ball 10 miles over somebody anymore. He stays like locked into the ground. It looks like he's just rotating when he throws rather than kind of bouncing and not having his feet set. There's a lot of technical stuff that's better. And I saw something, you know, on the internet where someone was asking, I think it was Seth Walder from ESPN, about like what percentage of him would be the same from Carolina or something. And I think that he's just grown here a ton as a quarterback from what I watched even in 2022, where he was pretty good, but he's just grown so much more, the decision-making, and that credit O'Connell, Josh McCown, what they have here. And if the receivers are open and can make all the plays, it's so much easier to trust what you're supposed to do on a given play.
Yeah, I feel like if you asked Kevin O'Connell, Darnold, if you got them all in the room, all the principals responsible for Sam Darnold's rise in Minnesota, and you said, who's responsible for this? You'd have so much finger pointing. Everybody would say, well, it's not me, it's them. Oh, no, it's not us. O'Connell says it's Darnold. And Darnold says it's not me, it's them. You know, you would have everybody deflecting. But the truth is in the middle, it's all of you. This could not have happened without all of these things coming together, without them even necessarily trading for Cam Robinson and piecing together. If David Questenberry were starting the last 4 games, where are they at? Yeah, maybe the Arizona game's not a win because of the protection problems or whatever. Like, there's things that you had to have happen. Justin Jefferson being the best person in the world at what he does. Addison coming online and that connection happening. And above all, it's the coaching. I think that stuff, we're going to give Kevin O'Connell, and everybody will give him a ton of credit for this, but it should not be undersold how important it is that the system he's in, he would not be the same guy, Sam Darnold, if he got signed by, even if it were the Carolina Panthers or the Cardinals right now, where it seems like, man, maybe they're figuring something out. Like, no, this would have been a team that was not ready to rehabilitate him. And this was a roster that was ready to win at the position. And he walked in prime of his athletic career, ready to learn, and he did. And he was coming off a year in San Francisco where he had a year to sit and learn some new things. Would he have been the same guy if he came straight from Carolina to here?
No.
Exactly. I don't think so either. I think it took an additional year of like sitting and growing, much like a Jordan Love or JJ McCarthy when they come out of the draft had to do. I think that is so pivotal for guys, and the coaching is, it's just, the system is so huge too, because in the NFL, all these guys are so talented. It's why every freaking game is one score, because the talent level is not that different. What's different is Shane Waldron's not telling his guys to read here when you drop on your third step, and then read here when it's your fourth, and read here when it's your sixth. He didn't do any of that, apparently, according to guys who were over there. It was very haphazard, bad coaching. He gets fired. Caleb Williams looks better after he leaves. That's what happens in the NFL. There is a wide there is a wide coaching gap. There isn't necessarily a wide talent gap. And so for Sam to land here, for him to pick here, shows how smart he was, and it shows how the Vikings have what they thought, which was a system that was built for a guy to walk in and succeed. And it's why it's going to continue the very intriguing conversation of, is it the system? Can they do it again with JJ or somebody else? Or is it Sam and this is going to be the guy from here on out?
Yeah, well, we should do this, like rank these things, like how much responsibility would you give? Because for me, now, number one, it's Sam Darnold. It's Sam Darnold, number one, because he took the coaching. There has been no arrogance about this guy at all. He came in willing to learn, not concerned about the McCarthy element, that they were going to draft a quarterback. They were straight up with him when they started that we believe in you for this year, but we're going to draft a quarterback for the future. And let's all just see what happens. And maybe we can get you a payday or whatever. Or sometimes God changes plans and you're going to be here or whatever. But they were honest with him from the upfront. But I think handled that situation so professionally and learning the offense and doing everything he could in training camp, OTAs. We have to wait for him forever each week because he's the last guy off the field. That's just a real thing. Like, that's how hard he has worked at this throughout the season. And you can't change unless you want to change or unless you want to learn. And the way he responded to the Jacksonville game was just incredible. Comes out of that, he's not pointing fingers. He's not blaming other people. He just changed things that weren't going well and made adjustments. And I thought even by the next week against Tennessee that he played totally different football. And then sustain that through the rest of the way. That's been so impressive. But Coach of the Year, Kevin O'Connell, totally deserved. Number 18, man. Number 18. Yards don't begin to tell the story of what Justin Jefferson does for a quarterback. It just doesn't even start there. Like, you have to watch the other team just push everything his way all the time. And when they don't, he roasts the hell out of them and then gets a bunch of yards and touchdowns and things like that. But the fact that you have everybody else available on almost every play because everything is directed at Jefferson, every time in the red zone, they're just putting two guys over there. Somebody else is open. Addison gets three touchdowns. That, I don't know that there's any other player in the league who does that to defenses like Jefferson does, and that makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, I would argue I would put O'Connell above Jefferson on the ranking of who deserves most credit, because I think Justin Jefferson, you can't one for one replace him with anybody, but there are more near his tier in the NFL than there are coaches near O'Connell's tier in terms of offensive coaches, I think. Mm-hmm. I think you can put in a CeeDee Lamb. I think you could put in a Tyreek Hill. I think you could put in, look, I'm just saying there are talents that you can scheme around. Now, they're not all, look, there's no one for one. Jamar Chase is the closest thing, mm-hmm. but there is no one for one. And then Jamar actually might be. But it's, to me, it's those two and then the rest of the NFL. I just think there's Amon-Ra St. Brown's. There's number ones on every team, most teams, that you can do things with. There are not offensive coordinators. There are not play callers with the emotional intelligence, with the quarterback intelligence that Kevin O'Connell has. There are very few guys in the league who can run offenses like him. I think of Andy Reid. I think of Kevin Stefanski, I would put in that mold. Who else? Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. Like, there are a handful of them. But to me, I think if you were to pair Darnold with any of those top 16, 15, whatever wide receivers you want to put, it is lesser than Jefferson, but I would take him with O'Connell in having similar results to what they've had. There is no question, though. Jefferson has a gravitational pull that is unlike any player in the NFL. Defenses treat him like you would treat a Patrick Mahomes type person at quarterback. That's how elite he is at what he does. I get that. But I just think the coach and what the coach has done for the quarterback's confidence, what he's done for his ability to just be that resilient, steady person, the way that O'Connell has been behind the scenes for 3 years in Minnesota. I think that pairing of Darnold and O'Connell is the most important.
Here's where I would lean toward your side on this. I also don't think O'Connell could do the stuff that he does without number 18, but
I'd like to see him with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know.
But
he's pretty good.
From day one, Kevin O'Connell somehow convinced everyone, including us, that he believed in Sam Darnold, but also was drafting his future franchise quarterback. And we listened to him talk about it. We're like, oh, yeah, okay. I buy that he thinks that Sam Darnold can be great. He sold us on it at the beginning of the year. And then when we saw him in OTAs and minicamp and training camp, and he's out there ripping passes to Jefferson and they're destroying people and, you know, all that stuff in practice, you go like, oh, okay. All right. I can buy that Sam Darnold's going to be way better than he's ever been. And I think that that permeated the whole locker room, the whole franchise, that when he was saying it and saying it and saying it, and then it showed immediately. That Giants game was so huge because the first impression for everyone was like, whoa, O'Connell was right. This dude can play. We can win. From the, you just felt it in that locker room.
Yeah.
Like how much energy there was to the team right off the bat. The first impression of Sam Darnold, even his first preseason game, he comes out and makes like three or four throws on his first drive. Yeah. And everyone's looking around going, yeah, is this going to happen right now? And I think that his way of galvanizing people, keeping Justin Jefferson from getting impatient when he's not getting the football, we don't see him run to social media. We don't see him throwing his arms up in the air or quitting on his team or anything like that. We see him throwing blocks in the fourth quarter of a game where he's got two catches as opposed to that. Even though he was frustrated, he's still, I mean, compared to what we see from, right, compared to what we see from other receivers, that communication factor with him, that belief factor that he's able to create, the coaching staff that they've put together, it truly is a perfect storm where you can't really separate the different pieces, because if somebody else, another receiver, was being treated that way, are they handling it the same way Justin Jefferson has handled it this year? That's a really hard thing to know.
Yeah, and there wasn't any other situation this past offseason like Minnesota's where Darnold could have walked in and had this kind of impact. I want to give Darnold all the credit in the world. And the biggest credit I would give him is that he wasn't ruined by his past experiences. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that, look, we're all human, right? We all have traumas. We all have things that we've went through that stick with us, that shape who we are moving forward. There are fewer career traumas as traumatic as getting drafted by the New York Jets, getting kicked around for 3 years by that media, by that city, by that organization that is so poorly run and kept hiring bad people to tell him what to do. And then his leading receiver was, I don't even remember,
Robbie Anderson / Robbie Chosen.
Oh, Robbie Chosen. Quincy Yunwa, I think, was still around there. I think he was leading receivers at some point. Like they did not have a lot, is the point. And for him to get through that and still be this guy, and Matt Rhule in Carolina, not even to mention, and to come through on the other side, that's the part where with Sam, there's nothing that could replace that part of him. You can't coach that. You can't put that in somebody. He had to show up here this offseason in March, sign that contract, and have that in him. And if he didn't, this was never going to work.
I think that what we've learned about Sam Darnold, because he rarely shows it outwardly, he doesn't go up to the podium each week for us with press conferences looking to bare his soul or get us to understand, who am I? Who am I really? Zoolander fans will appreciate the, who am I? I don't know.
I have no idea.
But he has a ton of heart and courage. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something he was drafted on, that they saw that at USC, that he could fight through just about anything and still give his team a chance to win at the end of the game. And what he's shown through this entire journey is a lot of heart, because a lot of guys, they may not quit as in like leave the league, but they essentially quit after they lose starting jobs. They don't go to San Francisco and be ready to play when he was asked to play there. They don't go and make a strong impression on San Francisco, which I think was influential in Kevin O'Connell believing that. So that's why, to me, he's number one. And also, he just has this monster arm and this great athleticism and all those things. Yeah. Like, he has the true talent of a franchise quarterback. That's why he was drafted to be one. And you don't make those throws to Jefferson. You certainly don't make the throw to Addison down the sideline while the play is collapsing on him. The touchdown to Jefferson, that's a routine red zone touchdown, is a laser beam. Like, he deserves all the credit for the work that he puts in and the talent that he has and who he is as a person. I think it's all come together. But if he loses against the Bears, they should trade him for picks.
It's all over. Fire everybody.
They're not going to lose to the Bears, are they? It's hard to win seven in a row. This is what I keep going back to, is there's no reason whatsoever to think that they lose to the Bears. It's just hard to keep a winning streak like this going. So what do you think happens?
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold is going to have to continue to play at the level he has, because I have a hard time seeing Caleb Williams not making this a show. I have a hard time seeing the Bears lay two eggs back-to-back weeks. I think this is going to be something where they sat and watched all week how bad they were, and they're going to come back against the team that they know really well, that they just saw, that they just took to overtime. They're going to have confidence coming into U.S. Bank Stadium on Monday night. So facing a confident Caleb Williams, you as a Vikings offense, as you mentioned, Matt, a great defense is a good offense, right? Yeah, so a great defense can be a very good offense, and I think staying on the field, Aaron Jones running the ball, Sam Darnold continuing to not turn the ball over, that's your recipe for success. Don't make this harder than it needs to be. Control the ball, score over 25, because that should be enough to put away this team. I think they win. I just think we have yet to see a game outside of last Sunday where they haven't made it harder than it needs to be. And it feels like we're going to head back to that.
All right. You want to hear more from that conversation with myself and Andrew Kramer, the Star Tribune. Check it out. Purple Insider Podcast. We'll take a quick break. And I was just telling Jonathan here, as I stay in my lane, we got more football to talk about. On Sunday, you get to do something that you don't have too many times a year, so you should appreciate it. It is a no-stress Sunday for Vikings fans, except for one particular game that Vikings fans will be keeping an eye on. So we're going to take a look at the entire NFL slate and what you have to look forward to, because the Vikings are playing on Monday Night Football. We will do that very shortly. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
All right, I promise we're going to do the NFL slate when we come back, but we were having an interesting conversation off the air. I have been fascinated by the reaction to the guy who murdered the healthcare CEO.
Brian Thompson.
Because thank you for filling in these. I really only watch football, but I've seen this story covered. And what fascinates me about it is really the response.
I mean, murders happen, and it's tragic. But I've never seen a response like this where people were kind of cheering on the murderer. I don't think that's right. Of course I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right to cheer on the murderer. But what I do understand is when it comes to things like healthcare and everything else, it really feels like there is no opportunity or mechanism for people who are the victims of the type of treatment that insurance companies and other, et cetera, just name your monster conglomerate or whatever that you want. There's no avenue to have your voice heard on these things or to force change. And one of those avenues is to go to the streets, which people have done in the past, and they get pepper sprayed and shot with rubber bullets, and there's usually not a whole lot of change. And no matter what it is, it feels like there is a helplessness that has increased and increased over the years, even when it comes to something like the inflation, where a lot of companies took advantage of all the talk of inflation and upped their prices beyond what the inflation actually was. As a Taco Bell consumer, I saw this impact. The Taco Bell prices doubled, tripled during that time. And I know that's like a funny example, but also a lot of things that really matter increased in price with the excuse of inflation when it wasn't even matching the actual inflation. And what do you do about it when your claim gets turned down and you've paid into insurance for your whole life and then they are not going to cover something? What do you do about it? You just have your life ruined. And that, I think, is the main reason why people have sort of looked at this person as, yeah, like a little shred of justice. It's not. And it won't change a thing. Someone else will take over as the CEO. And then they will wait until this blows over. They will tell everyone, ah, we're really looking ourselves in the mirror after this thing. That's what we're doing. We're really looking ourselves. And you're on to the next story, the inauguration or whatever. And they will not do anything different ever. I don't have an answer for that. And I think that trying to make this into some sort of Robin Hood character is pretty stupid, because it's not going to actually change anything. But I get it. I get why people want to project that, because they're projecting their own frustrations with a system that can't possibly be changed. Just thought I'd throw out a thought there before we talk about football games, because it's the biggest story. And I have no answer to what the drones are in New Jersey. All right, we'll be right back.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens.
Join for free and get access to Messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Perfect. Perfectly done, Jonathan. Here we go. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. Let's talk about some football games, because there are very few Sundays throughout an NFL season where the good folks of our great state of Minnesota get to just sit on their couches and watch with no consequences. It's not clenched fists. It's not anger at the coach making the wrong play call. You're not ticked off at the kicker for missing wide left. No, you're just watching everybody else's team for a Sunday because your squadron is on Monday night. So let's take a look at what we got here for this week. Games, we'll just start with some games that are relevant to the Minnesota Vikings. 3:25. If you've got stuff to do, you do it before 3:25, because the Buffalo Bills are at the Detroit Lions. And this is a game that is big and very relevant for the Minnesota Vikings, because if the Detroit Lions do not defeat the Buffalo Bills, then the Vikings will have a chance on Monday night to tie and have the same record. It will technically not be tied, so I don't need texts on that. I understand the tiebreaker currently would be Detroit because they beat the Vikings. However, there would be a potentially an opportunity, depending on division record and all that, potentially an opportunity for the Vikings to overtake the Detroit Lions for the division crown in week 18 when they play, if Detroit loses this game and then the Vikings win against Chicago on Monday. That becomes on the table for the run to the end of the season. And that could be huge for the Vikings if they could win the division, get a home playoff game, enormous in comparison to their current route, which is not great. I mean, right now they would have to go to Tampa Bay, then to Detroit, and then then potentially either come back home or go on the road for the NFC Championship. That's hard. That's hard to do. It's much easier to play your playoff games at home. So Detroit and Buffalo, 3:25. Also, 3:25. You got rooting interest in this one too. The Philadelphia Eagles are 11-2. They are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, as in Philadelphia. The Eagles, another team that the Vikings are battling for the entire conference, just like you all expected before the season, Sam Darnold fighting with the Eagles and Lions for the entire NFC. But if the Eagles do not win and they fall to 11-3, then the Vikings have a chance to overtake them in that spot. And that doesn't really help them if Detroit wins, but it does help them if they could beat Detroit, could win the entire NFC. Then you get a bye, and then home throughout the playoffs. That is really the goal. And the fact that that's still on the table for the Vikings is pretty incredible. But if those two teams lose at 3:25, then
anything is then possible for the Vikings, because after they play Chicago, Seattle, it's Green Bay, it's Detroit, it's a winnable game, and then it's the division games. So could be a fascinating race here, very much relevant at 325. Then in the evening, it is the Green Bay Packers at the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, you don't have to do a thing past 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Packers and Seahawks, the Seahawks are good. They're 8-5. Green Bay coming off of a loss to Detroit last week, but Green Bay still nipping at the heels of the Minnesota Vikings, and you want Green Bay to, I don't have to tell anybody this, but you want Green Bay to lose for the race and also for every other reason that you have to want Green Bay to lose. Seattle is 8-5 this year. Geno Smith has been playing well, so you have significant rooting interest there. The early slate, though, not so great. Not so great. Kansas City and Cleveland, Cincinnati and Tennessee. There is a trend here in the National Football League this year. It is the parting of the seas between the good teams and the bad teams. Listen to some of these matchups. This is an atrocity. Kansas City, Cleveland. Cleveland's got what? 3 wins. Maybe Kansas City this time. I know this is your team, Jonathan. Maybe they can win by 10 against Cleveland if Jameis Winston throws 4 picks, maybe. Cincinnati, Tennessee. Ah. Washington and New Orleans. New Orleans is playing a gentleman named Jake Haener at quarterback. I don't know who that is, and I covered the NFL.
He is a rookie from Fresno State.
That was an exaggeration. I do know who he is. Yeah, I saw him in the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago. He actually played earlier this year and was not good. So Baltimore and New York.
I was going to say, you can't let me just have one. You can't just have one little nugget over you.
No, that's all right. That's it. Fresno State. I did not necessarily have it on the tip of my tongue exactly what college he went to. I remember watching him in the Senior Bowl and thinking, that's not someone I need to think about. But he is in the NFL now. And it's going to be what? Tommy DeVito back starting for the New York Giants against Baltimore. Carolina and Dallas could be interesting. Bryce Young has actually played pretty well recently, and Dallas is bad because they lost the other night to Cincinnati. They've been more competitive recently, but another just horrific game. The Jets and the Jaguars, my gosh, relegate these teams. Miami and Houston, that could be fun. That's the early slate. I mean, sleep in, play with your kids, go for a horse and buggy ride. Anything before 3 o'clock.
You know how you can tolerate that early slate? Red zone.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Dude, are you? I mean, I thought you were going to say gambling. I can't.
Of gambling.
There's nothing here, man. There's nothing here. Houston and Miami is slightly interesting, but
yes.
There is nothing here. This might be the worst early slate of games that I have ever seen in my life. I don't know what
it is. It's bad.
It feels like this year more than anything, more than any other year, you have teams that are amazing and teams, but a lot of them with great, great records. And then a lot of them that are just a horror show. That it's Friday the 13th. This early slate should be on Friday the 13th. It is horrifying. And a lot of these franchises are like, how many teams? I'm just got a curiosity. How many teams have like 3 wins? Let's see here. How many teams?
I'm about to look at the standings right now.
There's a ton.
Yeah.
There are so many teams. Cleveland, Jacksonville, New York, Tennessee, New England, and Vegas all have 3 or fewer wins in the AFC. And then Carolina and the Giants in the NFC.
That should make for something. The race for the number one seed.
Yeah, the number one pick. Yep.
Who tanks the hardest?
It is nice that I have not had to spend any time this year talking about who the Vikings are going to draft. There are people who are really obsessed with the draft. That's all they care about. They don't care that the Vikings are 11-2. They care that their first round pick hasn't played a lot. But that's not many people. The last number of years, last year was definitely like this with the quarterback situation and in several of the Kirk years, it wasn't that they were out of the playoff race. It was just that you knew that they weren't really in anything. And so we would start talking about, oh, well, it's bowl season and let's watch these college players and see if they could make great Vikings. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is a safe space for no one who listens to my podcast is listening right now, right? I couldn't stand it. Could not stand it. And then I got forever to talk about the draft. Forever. Mel Kiper, they run him out in February, and he's talking about every draft pick for months. I don't need that now, but the Vikings forced us into that position, and they did not this year, though. In the past, they did, and it would just be kind of a miserable time. Speaking of which, I am really interested in the bowl slate, though, and also do want to find out about, like, how many quarterbacks are going to be in this draft. Not that the Vikings need one. They actually have two. But all those teams I just named, who are they picking? Shedeur Sanders and who? There's not two first-round quarterbacks, is there?
Cam Ward. Cam Ward's going in the first round.
Yeah.
I think he's going in the first round.
I'm not a big Cam Ward.
I think he's the way Miami has played, where they have to win by scoring 40 points. Mm-hmm. He's been impressive. He was impressive at Houston. I think he'll go in the first round to somebody.
That's possible. Yeah. I
will say this, and I don't know if you know this. I don't know how much you follow the college game. I want someone to explain to me I believe it's going to be the Alamo Bowl. BYU and Colorado. Last year, that would have been fine. They were in different conferences. Now they're in the same conference. You have a conference game in a bowl game. I need to look up how often that's happened, because it can't have been that often. But especially since, let's say, I don't know, 1960. But that's just odd to me. Why would they put those two together? Why would they think they'd want to put those two together in that game? I don't know.
See, I've never thought about this ever in my life, what you just said. I never even began to consider it. You know why? Because I look at bowl season the same way you look at eating dessert. Just enjoy the sugar rush and do not think about anything else. The consequences, what you were supposed to eat, whatever.
I've soured on bowl season. I've soured on it over the years.
No. It's so much fun. It's ludicrous. It's silliness.
I'll try to watch. I think maybe the best bowl, maybe the best bowl out of all of them outside of the playoffs might be Iowa State Miami. That should be an interesting game.
I'll watch any of them.
I'll watch Missouri Iowa.
What's happening right now on our TV is the FCS championship, and I have been watching the bleep out of this game. And it's great. 10-7, let's go. Let's go Bobcats.
And we need to take a break, but when we get back, is it possible for me to just jump in a little bit and update the FCS, a couple of teams in the Division II, Division III, and then the volleyball? Would it be possible?
I mean, you're the one that actually works here, so yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay, we'll do that when we return. Okay, so tomorrow is Army-Navy. Always look forward to that game.
That's correct.
And also a lot of FCS action, which you have in front of you.
Yes, so let's take a quick look at some of the scores and stuff that's happening over the next 36 hours, let's say. We'll start with the FCS football tournament. Right now, number one overall seed, Montana State, leading Idaho, eighth-seeded Idaho. And I believe Idaho may have tried to kick a field goal. I don't know, but it's 10-7. Idaho was deep in Bobcat territory looking to tie or take the lead. About 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. Tomorrow, the Missouri Valley and area teams are well represented at 2:30. 2-seed North Dakota State will take on 7-seed Mercer at the Fargo Dome. At 11 a.m., 3rd-seeded South Dakota State will host Incarnate Word in Brookings. At the Dakota Dome at 2 o'clock Central Time, number 4-seed South Dakota will host 5th-seeded UC Davis. So you will have the possibility of three Missouri Valley teams making it to the national semifinals. Division II football, Minnesota State, after they upset Colorado State Pueblo a couple of weeks ago, they beat Bemidji State last week at home. They now go to Valdosta State in Georgia, 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow morning. The Mavericks trying to get to the national finals. They are the four seed after they reseeded the teams. The four out of four left. The Division III playoffs, Bethel at 11 a.m. will kick off in Pennsylvania against Susquehanna in the national quarterfinals. So Bethel took out Wartburg last week in Iowa. Susquehanna upset St. John's last week in Collegeville. So Bethel has an opportunity to move on to the national semifinals. They would face the winner, I believe, of North Central out of Illinois or Springfield. The Division I Women's Volleyball Tournament, that is going on, the Sweet 16, over the last couple of nights. Today, it was Penn State defeating Marquette 3-1. Creighton upset two-time defending champion Texas 3-1. Penn State versus Creighton Sunday evening, 7:30 in Happy Valley. Wisconsin just got off the court. They take down Texas A&M in five sets, a thrilling five-setter. Wisconsin wins 3-2. They'll take on the winner of Nebraska and Dayton. That is tipping off in moments in Lincoln. Tomorrow it will be Louisville and Stanford. That will be the late matchup tomorrow evening in Louisville. And the other national quarterfinal tomorrow will be Pittsburgh and Kentucky. In Pittsburgh, that'll be 4 p.m. The first serve of that match. That's right. So, and then the Timberwolves are playing tonight. We'll have you updated on all that. Steve Thompson will have all of that stuff for you coming up tomorrow during the afternoon. He'll keep you heavily updated with all the football scores, with especially those five area teams that will be in action.
I just want to make a suggestion. Because my wife is calling a game tomorrow. She's doing Purdue versus somebody on TV somewhere. So that's a great promotion for her. She's told me, Kentucky. Kentucky's a very exciting team. That's where Madden Greenway is going to go. So that's worth finding. I don't know what time it is. I got to figure that out. The volleyball. My wife Sloan did several volleyball games this year, did Wisconsin. It is exciting as hell in the playoffs. Make sure you find it. Check it out. Thanks for letting me fill in, and we'll catch y'all later.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that?
It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.